Hello, everyone, and welcome to Press EV News.
Straight to our top story this hour. World leaders have gathered in New York to discuss poverty reduction, among other Millennium Development Goals. In an address before the meeting's participants, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon said poverty could be eradicated by 2015, despite the global economic downturn. He urged all world leaders to stick to the task and find new sources of funding to reach that goal. The annual summit is held on September 20th to 23rd. It focuses on a series of efforts agreed by all nations, which includes a commitment to try to eradicate poverty and improve health standards by 2015. Statistics show the global economic crisis has added more than 100 million people to the category of extreme poor, those who live on less than $2 a day.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has convened for its annual general conference in the Austrian capital Vienna. Expectations from the forum are very high that it continues to pressure Israel to accede to the NPT and open its nuclear facilities to international inspections. Eva Manasieva reports.
The 54th General Conference of the IAEA began with a lot of electricity in the air. The Islamic nations and the non-aligned movement are preparing for a new, expectedly heavy battle of words with the United States and its allies over the issue of Israel and its secretive nuclear program. In his statement to the General Conference, Iranian Vice President and head of the Atomic Energy Organization, Ali Akbar Salehi, called for an end of what he called political games when it comes to inspecting Israel's nuclear facilities.
It is high time to realign our mindsets away from political games and to redirect our collective efforts towards a balanced treatment of countries seeking peaceful nuclear technology on the one hand, and on the other hand, to put intense pressure on those who outrightly defy the unanimous decision of the 2010 review conference to join the treaty.
The IAEA, however, has been so far too silent on the issue of Israel. In his opening statement to the conference, the IAEA Director General Yukiya Amano referred only vaguely to the issue of Israel, which is expected to top the discussions by the end of the week.
I also ask the 18 states without NPT safeguards agreement in force to bring such agreements into force without delay.
The silence over Israel was also notable in the speeches of the United States and the European Union that once again attempted to divert the international attention to Iran, despite the fact that Iran, unlike Israel, is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty and has been subject to the most robust inspections in the history of the nuclear agency.
In this particular case about Israel, the Zionist regime, where we have many resolutions, including the last resolution in the NPT Review Conference in 2010 in New York, and other resolutions from the General Conference of last year, that the Zionist regime has to join the NPT. We hope that the IAEA will deliver on its mission in this regard.
The Islamic nations and the non-aligned movement are setting high hopes for this year's General Conference, determined to stop the attempts by the United States and its allies to withdraw the issue of the Israeli nuclear capabilities from the agenda of the forum. Analysts, however, are worried by the IAEA silence on the issue so far, suggesting that the agency might lean towards the West when it comes to Israel. So, the 54th General Conference of the IAEA will by all means remain in the history, either with a hard stance on Israel and its nuclear capabilities, or with a failure to tackle the issue due to Western pressure. The second scenario, according to analysts, threatening to totally ruin the agency's image as an independent technical organization. Eva Manasieva, Press TV from the IAEA headquarters in Vienna.
We earlier spoke with the head of Atomic Energy Organization of Iran about Tehran's call on the UN nuclear agency to deal with Israel's nuclear warheads.
Now, we would like to wait and see how IAEA will pursue this matter. This is why we say that there is political influence in this agency. When it comes to Iran, a faithful member state of the IAEA, subjected to 5,000 days mandates of inspection, you see so much pressure political pressure put on Iran, while on the other side, there is a country which is not a member of the NPT and does not allow the IAEA inspectors into its nuclear installations, and they hold 200 nuclear warheads, and there is not much to say about it. So we wait and see, and we hope that the IAEA will deliver on its mission in this regard.
German media say Tehran-Berlin trade figures have improved despite recent UN and EU sanctions against Iran. Reports show Germany's exports to Iran have reached near the 2 billion euro mark in the first half of 2010. That is a 14% increase compared to the same period last year. Iran's exports to Germany have reached 280 million euros in the same period. Experts say the boost in trade is mainly due to good finances of Iranian firms. Germany is Iran's largest trading partner in the European Union. Another U.S. drone attack hits Pakistan.
This time, at least seven people have been killed and two more injured.
The U.S. airstrikes have been increasing on an almost daily basis. This month alone, there have been 15 U.S. drone attacks inside the country. That's the most intense barrage since the drone attacks began back in 2004. The program for the unmanned planes is run by the CIA. The spy agency has complete control over the program, meaning that it decides its targets and issues orders to launch such attacks in Pakistan. Over the last 6 years, the airstrikes have killed many people, including women and children. Washington says that it targets militants, but it's mostly the civilians who bear the brunt. Local officials in Pakistan insist that 90% of the people killed by American drones are civilians. Most of the drone attacks hit Pakistan's troubled northwestern tribal region. Islamabad has until recently condemned the deadly attacks as violations of its sovereignty. The UN, like Pakistan, has given up on condemnation of such attacks. The world body's strongest statement against the drone attacks was back in June. That's when a report was published by a human rights official concluding that CIA agents could be prosecuted for carrying out drone attacks. The increase in U.S. drone attacks comes at a time when Pakistan is struggling with its worst natural disaster in living memory.
Six protesters, including a teenage boy, have been injured during fresh demonstrations in Indian-administered Kashmir. They were wounded when security forces opened fire on protesters near the northern town of Sopora. Demonstrations broke out throughout the town in response to the security forces' killing of a woman bystander during protests on Sunday. The latest casualties come as a group of New Delhi lawmakers were visiting the region for talks on the escalating violence there.
Fresh violence has erupted in the Pakistani city of Karachi. Clashes between different ethnic groups and also security forces have left at least 17 people dead since Sunday night. Riots and protests erupted across the city following the targeted killing of a young boy on Sunday. Some of the victims reportedly include members of political parties, while police suspect that others have been caught in the crossfire. Karachi has been hit by a wave of violence and targeted killings since the beginning of the year. Security has been tightened across the city as officials try to restore order.
Pakistan's economy has been hit hard by the floods in the country. Press TV's Jawed Rana has been touring the affected areas of Sindh province. Vast areas in the region where crops are grown have been devastated.
The mighty Indus River has been smashing almost everything from the northwest to the southern Sindh province of Pakistan after the monsoon-triggered floods 2 months back. The flood waves not only uprooted living settlements but also ruined the economic infrastructure of the affected areas. A rural area of Dadur district of Sindh is yet another target of flood despite the monsoon rain stopped 2 weeks ago. It is difficult to precisely make an assessment about the scale of the disaster, but it seems, going by what we are seeing on the ground, that there is tens of thousands of agriculture farmland which now has effectively come underwater, which means this is going to hit hard Pakistan's backbone of the economy. The relentless floods even have now made well-off families dependent on aid after the waters destroyed much of what they possessed.
Who will rehabilitate us? Let me tell you, no one would compensate us. The government cannot do anything but to make promises which it would never fulfill.
Although the flood has caused disaster at least in one-fifth territory of Pakistan, but for many here in the southern Sindh province, it has turned out to be a blessing in disguise. An amazing fish bonanza, perhaps only for professional fishermen. But for those whose families are still stranded in hundreds of flooded villages, the fishing is the last hope for their survival.
I am penniless. I am compelled to do fishing, which is now my only source of income to feed my family. And also I have to hire the expensive private boats to access my village, which has come under flood water.
The tragedy of some is a chance for others to boom their business. More than 21 million people have been affected by the flood, while up to 12 million are in desperate need of humanitarian assistance. Javed Rana, Press TV, Southern Sindh Province, Pakistan.
U.S. President Barack Obama says the consequences of the economic recession are still hurting the American people. Obama says the recession is still very real for the millions of people who are out of work or otherwise struggling. The president's remarks come as the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development has warned that the U.S. economy will grow at a slower than expected rate this year. That is far less than the 3.2% predicted in May. Making the story even gloomier, OECD also warned that unemployment is likely to stay elevated for what it has called a relatively long period.
You're watching Press TV News. Time for a reminder of the headlines. World leaders discuss strategies to fight extreme poverty, among other Millennium Development Goals. The International Atomic Energy Agency is urged to deal with Israel's nuclear arsenal. And the U.S. drone attack killed several people in Pakistan's tribal areas.
Still ahead here on Press TV, Hurricane Igor heads towards the easternmost regions of Canada. Now, a bomber has targeted the presidential palace in the Somali capital Mogadishu. Officials say two soldiers were wounded when he tried to enter the palace. The bomber attempted to jump onto an African Union, or AU, vehicle entering the compound. He detonated his explosives when AU soldiers tried to stop him. Violence has been on the rise in Mogadishu during the past month. Local fighters have pledged to fight until the government is toppled and AU troops withdraw from the country. They accuse the African Union of invading Somalia.
Thousands of people have fled a village in southern Yemen after government forces shelled the area. Yemeni police say government forces entered the village of Houta with tanks and armored vehicles on Sunday and took over houses there. Fleeing families say tanks have been indiscriminately shelling homes in the area for the past 2 days. Yemen claims the village has turned into a safe haven for al-Qaeda militants. Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama has reiterated Washington's support for what he calls Yemen's fight against al-Qaeda. The U.S. provided Yemen with military equipment worth a total of $110 million last year.
Israeli troops have reportedly fired shots at Lebanese soldiers working on a fortification project. Reports say Israeli soldiers fired over the heads of Lebanese troops in the Dhairah area. The Lebanese army did not respond to the firing. A spokesman for the UN Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, says it has received information about the incident by the Lebanese military. He added that an investigation is underway. This comes more than a month after a clash between Israeli and Lebanese troops in the area left several people dead.